to propose that they meet. He had suggested that he come to Marrakesh, but Isabella had declined. Far better for her to go to him. She had arrived in London 2 days before the appointed time and had selected this location yesterday. She had scouted up and down the river until she found a spot she liked. She started at the huge wheel of the London Eye, continued past the twin pedestrian bridges that led across the water to Charing Cross Station and headed north into the artistic quarter. There was the National Festival Hall, together with the chain restaurants that had been attracted to the area. Farther along the promenade was the Queen Elizabeth Hall and the Undercroft, famed for the skaters and BMXers who gathered there, every square inch of wall covered in colourful graffiti. Isabella had walked on past the painted mime who was entertaining a group of schoolchildren perched atop a box. She had eventually settled on the cafe that was connected to the National Film Theatre. It offered wide windows with good visibility up and down the river path. There was a double flight of stairs leading up to Waterloo Bridge at the side of the building. If she needed to get away quickly, that would be the route she would choose. Isabella reached the coffee shop with 30 minutes to spare. It was quiet this morning, and she was able to take a seat at the back of the room. The only luggage that she had brought with her was the leather satchel that she had bought from a trader in the souk. He had looked at her with hungry eyes, no doubt seeing an easy sale at an inflated price. She had disabused him of that notion very quickly. In the end, they had agreed on a fair price. The bag was new, but she had deliberately scuffed it so that it looked older. She didn't want anything at all to attract attention to her. The doors were wide open, and sounds from the outside drifted in. The cafe was partially beneath the grey concrete vault of the bridge, and the second-hand booksellers who had gathered here for decades were loudly discussing last night's football as they set up their tables. A busker, dressed in a sequined jacket, was serenading the joggers and pedestrians who sauntered past. It was just after 8:30 when she saw Control. He stopped at the door, his eyes adjusting to the gloom after the brightness of the morning. He saw her, smiled, and crossed the room.
"Hello, Isabella."
"Captain Pope?"
"It's Michael," he said. "Please, no formalities. Would you like something to eat? Breakfast?"
"I'm fine."
"Coffee?"
"I'm fine, thank you."
"I'm just going to get myself one. You sure?"
She said that she would have an orange juice. He nodded his satisfaction and went to the bar. The sight of him brought back memories of the American hospital and the man who had ripped her family apart when she was just a little girl. She had killed him when her mother could not, and Pope had driven her away as the police swarmed into the area. He had promised to get her out of the country, and he had been true to his word. He had driven them west to Charlotte Douglas International Airport. They had taken a domestic flight to Atlanta and then flown from there direct to Paris. She remembered how Pope had been uncomfortable when she had thanked him for his help and made it obvious that she didn't need any more from him. She could tell that he was reluctant to let her go, but there was little that he could do about it. She had an excellent fake passport, and she had the money to buy a Royal Air Maroc ticket to Marrakesh. She knew, too, that he had no idea what he would have done with her if he took her back to London. He had very few options, and, eventually, she had persuaded him that the best one was to leave her to get on with her life. He had compromised, writing his telephone number on the back of a magazine and telling her that if she ever needed him, then all she had to do was call. She had torn the page out, folded it, and slipped it into her pocket. She still had it in a drawer in the kitchen at home, but it had never even been unfolded. And then an email had found its way to her Gmail account. She had no idea how he had found the address. Isabella had treated that as a salutary lesson. She had considered herself well hidden, and the fact that he had discovered her online had pulled her up short. She had determined that she would do better. Pope returned with a cappuccino and a glass of freshly squeezed juice. He lowered himself into the spare chair and passed the glass across the table to her.
"Thank you for coming."
She nodded.